Yeah, I think we'll begin. Tonight's shiur is L'Zeich HaNishmas from Shmuel ben Michael, and the Shama should have an aliyah. I want to start just with one final issue that we didn't get a chance to speak of, and that pertains to actually our Libud of last year, but it's right here on the daf, and therefore we should just discuss it quickly. That's the idea of Shtar Becha. And after that, I want to go back to Chav Tes and Aleph and start with the start back into the topics of Chazaka. We spent about four or five shiurim or six shiurim on Inyanei Mecha, and now we're going to return to Chazaka. But before we do, there's one final topic, one final line in the Gemara, which we need to spend a little more time on. That's the last line on Lamed Tes on the base. So we'll begin with that. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Everybody have it? Last line. And Lamed Tes on the base. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Mecha Bifnei Shnayim, Ve'ein Tzarech Lomar Ksovu. So that's a very, very important halacha. Rava says if the Mecha, if the Barakama objects to the presence of the Machzik, right, he calls him the trespasser, and he does so in the presence of two Edim, of two witnesses, so those two Edim have the right to create a shtar. They have the right to generate a shtar based on that Makah, without his having officially commanded them to do so. He didn't issue the order. They can nonetheless make up their own shtar Makah. So there are two things that are important about this line of Rava. It really is part of a cluster, you'll see. Just read another couple of lines very quickly. It's part of a cluster of other dinim as well. Modav if neishnayim ve'im tzarech lomar ksovu. A modav is a situation where somebody is being coerced, and so what he does is on the side he's being coerced into certain transactions. So he calls together two people and he issues a modav, right, to inform, to get on the record. By the way, I'm being pressured into this other sale, it's being done, shalom bidai. That's called a moda. So moda b'fnei shayim, if he brings two people together and he makes a moda, then they too can produce a shtar moda of ein tzarech lomar ksovu. On the other hand, hoda b'fnei shayim, if he is involved in a hoda, let's say he calls the two witnesses together, and he says, I hereby admit that I owe money to Reuven. So there, tzarech lomar ksovu. They don't have the right to create a shtar, which would that make this into a milvah v'shtar as opposed to milvah apeh, because there are significant consequences to having a milvah v'shtar as opposed to apeh, and therefore they have to consult with the mischayev, the lova, in order to generate such a shtar. Kinyan b'fnei shnayim, if there's a kinyan sudar that takes place in the presence of two witnesses, so again, ein tzarech lomar ksovu, the Edim who witnessed this Kinyan Sudar have the right to create a shtar without any kind of further consultation. It's very important. And finally, Kim Shtaros is Bishlosha. That's this little cluster. There are two issues involved. One is this Bifnei Shnayim. Mecha Bifnei Shnayim, Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim, etc. We've talked about it previously, but I just want to highlight it again very quickly. Tosis here explains kinyan b'fnei shnayim ve'ein tzarech lomar ksovu b'chulei. Tosas on Mem Od Aleph, the second or the first, the new Tosas on the page. Tosas says Omer Rabbeinu Tam d'lo asa l'mu'ute shleihei chashuv kinyan kishenasa shelo b'fnei shnayim. By the use of this phrase kinyan b'fnei shnayim, it's not intended that you should conclude that a kinyan requires the presence of two witnesses, and without the two witnesses, it's not a proper kinyan. Don't think that that's what it means. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Lo asi lemute shleih echash of kinyan kishenasa shelo b'fnei shnayim. Tamina b'kiddushin, the Gemara says in kiddushin, lo ibri sahadi ela l'shaker. The Gemara says in kiddushin, samachayim and beis, that when it comes to dine maminis, the only reason you require witnesses is to verify what took place. What we call ede birur, not ede kiyur. So it should be noted that what Rabbeinu Tam is protesting is a shita, a major shita among the earlier Rishonim. We've talked about it before. The Ravid here quotes the Gaonim for the opinion that a Kinyan Suda requires shnayim. It requires two witnesses. Ine kiyum for a kinyan sudar. And in Parakei, this we don't have, but in Parakei, Hilkos Mechira Halachates, the Rambam says, you should know, says the Rambam, that there is no requirement of Ene Kiyum for Kinyan Sudar. Okay, why is the Rambam telling us that out of the blue? Because apparently there were views in the Gaonim that required Kinyan Sudar, just like Rabbeinu Tam is telling us, don't make this mistake. Just like the Ravid tells us that we're going. So the Ravid on that Rambam in Parakei, Hilchos Mechira Halachates, says, Omer Avram, Ein HaKol Modim Bazeh. Not everybody agrees. So you should know, one issue is whether or not Kinyan, Bifnei Shnayim, means that there's a requirement of Eidei Kiyum. Now, of course, that's very, very important. Why should Kinyan Sudar, of all Kinyanim, require Eidei Kiyum? No one ever said that Hagbah would require Eidei Kiyum, or Kinyan Chazaka would require Eidei Kiyum, or Meshicha would require Eidei Kiyum, or Kesef would require Eidei Kiyum. There's certainly no such position. It's only with regard to Kinyan Sudar, and among Kinyanim at least, that there appears to be the idea that maybe there is Eidei Kiyum.
Doesn't the Pasuk suggest L'Kayim called over?
What do you mean L'Kayim called over? Yeah, that's Kinyan Sudar.
Yeah, so L'Kayim.
Maybe that's what it means. That's how we shalafi shnalo l'kayim kol davar. That maybe that's why, you know, maybe that's the makar, right? Maybe that's what it means. So, but again, why kinyan sudar, not any other kinyan? So this is part of a much larger topic, not for now, but just very very briefly, the idea that the kinyan sudar is really unique among kinyanim. Number one, it's called kinyan. Some kinyan, like in this Gemara, it says kinyan, bifnei shnayim. How do I know it's kinyan sudar? The word for kinyan sudar is kinyan. Right? Surely that's significant. It's the most ubiquitous of all the kinyanim. Maybe that's the reason that it's called simply kinyan. The point is that it's the most versatile kinyan, it's the most ubiquitous kinyan, it's also the most puzzling kinyan in a certain sense. Because what exactly is this kinyan about? Kesef, we know it's about exchanging, you know, buying power for an object. Hagbah, Meshicha, we understand also. You're symbolically, you know, bringing the object, you know, into your possession. Chazaka, you know, by means of constructive improvement, right? You establish a connection, you know, with a piece of property or an object, an eved, let's say, as the case may be. What is Kinyan Sudar? Normally Kinyan Sudar, you know, you pick up a handkerchief, you pick up a pen, you say symbolically, you know, this is an exchange of that, but there's no monetary correspondence between them. And the Gemara Nadarim actually has a discussion, Mem Chesed and Beis, whether or not in the case of a Kinyan Sudar, the object goes back or not. Does it have to go back to the, you know, to the fellow or not? Even if you paskin that it doesn't have to, in most cases, Kinyan Sudar doesn't remain with the other party. So it isn't even a symbolic exchange in the end of the day, in most cases. It's just a way of sort of concretizing one's intentions. Instead of just saying, I hereby intend, or I'm committed, you know, to this, you know, this new state of events, to assuming responsibility for this object, or to paying for this object, and, you know, accepting title over it, so you concretize that agreement with a kinyan sudar. The Rambam's opinion in Hilchos Mechira Parakates is that a katan is excluded from kinyan sudar. Again, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says kinyan areu kekesef l'chol davar. Therefore, whatever is good for kesef is good for kinyan. But the Rambam thinks that this is incorrect, and there are other indications of this as well. The idea may be that this is how some of the Rishonim understood it. This is how Rav Chaim understood it. That Kinyan Sudar is what we call a Kinyan Das. That basically, it's the Das of Miskayiv, it's the commitment that is the Davar HaKodeh. Just that, otherwise it's a kind of a smach de bialma. If you just talk about it, and there's nothing concrete to kind of, you know, instantiate your will and your commitment, then it's too tenuous. So you need something to focus on, to trigger an exchange, if only symbolically, but it's still concretely symbolically. But basically, the idea then behind Kinyan Sudar is the commitment to assume this new status. And if that's the case, maybe you require a kiyum. After all, we require a kiyum, just for a second, in what other area? Probably in Ishus. Because again, that's a transcendent kind of kinyan. Now there, it's the result of the kinyan that is transcendent. Namely, you want to create a kinyan Ishus. So you're not acquiring a wife, right? Or, you know, dismissing a wife in the case of Gerushin. What you're doing is, you know, you're creating a chalos Ishus, or you are dissolving, you know, an Ishus with all sorts of monetary and Isurim and Kedusha aspects to it, as we discussed a lot last year. So there we understand that it's not enough that you do something, it has to be witnessed. The witnessing is a formalizing and a solemnizing of the process that goes beyond the physical exchange or agreement that takes place. So in Kinyan Sudar, the result doesn't compare at all to Ishus. We're talking about a piece of karka, we're talking about, you know, metaltalin. You don't need a nekiyum to create a chalos kinyan in Dine Mominus. But the process, which is based on pure commitment, that is what's transcendent. That's what is more than meets the eye. If you were talking about the actual exchange, even symbolically, of this pen or this handkerchief for that field, and you took that part of it seriously, then you would need a kinyan sudar, for sure. Then you would need a nekiyum. But if it's just merely a mechanism of triggering, you know, a more serious level of commitment, which, when properly done, can accomplish kinyan, so even though the result is not something that generates the requirement of Edekiyum, here the process is one which requires Edekiyum. Yeah?
So, two questions. Do the witnesses testify about intention? And my thought was, maybe you need Edekiyum because it's so ambiguous.
Well, the ambiguity, I think, is part of it, but the way I'm interpreting it, it's because it doesn't really correspond to what's happening here. And therefore, right, it's just a concretization of something else, and it's that something else that requires the Edekiyum. So I don't think we're so far apart of that now. In terms of the Edim themselves, I don't think they need, it's more their presence, their solemnizing presence, that lends a certain prestige or stature to this das than it is what they actually know or intend. So they don't have to have extra kavana, but their presence adds a certain solemnity and formality to what it is that's taking place, and that's the way that they, you know, function together.
So maybe it prevents one party from saying, you know, I was just doing this as a joke.
Right. Well, there's something that I think it's more than that, but right. I mean, that's part of it. That's half of it. It's either a third or two thirds, but it's not the whole story. Meaning we have that in Eschaivos too. Hodav Teshnaim. We say there's something called, if a guy says, I owe you $1 million. Right. So half the time, he can, depending on the conditions, he can say, Meshata Nibach. Right. Meaning, I didn't mean it, I was joking. Right? Or he had some other cheshbon why he said it. It has to be, you know, where he says, Atamedai. He says, I hereby, Kimoser Edos. I want you to understand this is really serious. But then, once you say Atanei or something like that, you can't say Mishat Tanibah. But for Edekiyum, we need more now. Now, again, just to make it perfectly clear, Lahalacha, you know, 90% of the Rishonim still think that even Kinyan Suda does not require Edekiyum. We're talking about a day of the Gonim, of the Raivid, and the Rush quote, the Raivid in Akomodim in Hilchos Mechira, the Gonim that he quotes here in Shittim Kometz Mem. But there are other, even if you don't require a kiyum, there's other evidence that Kinyan Sudar is really a very unique Kinyan, whether it's in terms of Katan or Ebed, how much time you have to be Choser from it, that's a Gemara later on Daf Kofidalid. Kinyan Sudar might be different than all of the Kinyanim. The whole discussion in the Gemara in the beginning of Kiddushin, the Gemara says maybe you should be able to be, get married, you know, not only in Kesef, you know, Star of Babia, what about Kinyan Sudar? This is a Gemara's discussion on the Gimel of an hour. Sorry? Khalifa is Sudar, yeah. So, exactly. So the Gemara says, you know, you can't do it because Isha, because Chalipin is not Pachim Shavapruta, the Yisha Pachim Shavapruta, Lo Mikne, and then there are two Girsos there, Lo Mikne Nafsha, or Lo Mikne. Rashi has a Girsa Lo Mikne Nafsha, and the Balitosis, and most Rishonim have the Girsa, Yisha Pachim Shavapruta, Lo Mikne. So again, there the Gemara is considering the possibility that Chalipin, Sudar, could work in Ishas, and the Gemara says no, because of this other consideration, Yisha Pachim Shavapruta, Lo Mikne Nafsha. So, as the Rishonim all point out there, and let's say you used a Kli, which was Yosef Mishavapruta, right? You don't have to use a Kli Pachas Mishavapruta. Let's say they used a pen. A pen is worth more than a Mishavapruta. Right? That's not what the Gemara meant. So, again, there is a day in the Rishonim, Tos Trid, that says that if you get married with something else in Mishavapruta, then you're right. In Ochanami, the Kiddushin will be Chal. But that's not what the Gemara probably means. What the Gemara means is the fact that it's conceivable to have a kinyan chalipin with pachas mishavapruta indicates that the nature of kinyan chalipin is not about value and exchange. It's more about it's a symbolic level of commitment per se.
He doesn't keep it either, does he?
What's that?
He doesn't keep it. You just said.
What do you mean? Doesn't keep it? Yeah, right. 100%. So, but he could. Well, that's machlokus. That's the 2 days of the Gemara Nadar. So they didn't want him to be told on that. But what they're saying is, and even the fact that it's Nayu, the Pachas Mishavapruta, shows you it's a different kind of transaction. And that's the reason why it's not appropriate for Kiddush. So there are many other rayas for this idea, even if you don't go so far as to say Kinim Bifnei Shnayim means not only if you do it, but you must do it. Now, of course, having said that, one other point. That is, why kinyan b'fnei shnayim v'ein tzarach lomar ksovo? What does that have to do with writing of the shtar? If the kinyan is b'fnei shnayim, right, then they can automatically write a shtar, whereas generally, in order to write a shtar, you have to speak to, you have to get the particular, specific permission of the miskayim. How come you don't need the specific permission of the miskayim in a kinyan sudar? Right, so the Rashbam and Rashi and other places, in Sanhedrin, Chavtesim, Chavit Beis, other places, say, oh, because Stam, there's no Kepeda once there's a Kinyan Sudar. Maybe that implies that there's also the Chasim Mishabadim, and therefore there's no reason not to write the Shtar. But, in light of this whole idea, it's possible to give another explanation, I always thought at least one could, and that is based on the following ideas. We discussed last year in Shtar, the basis for Shtaros, and this leads us to our next point, the basis of Shtaros, as opposed to Mipi Ksavam, we say Mipiim v'lo Piksavam. If you just write Eidos, Piksav, that doesn't work. What's the difference between Eidos Piksav and a Shtar? So the Bali Tosas say different things. The main view of Tosas, we'll get to this in just a second, is Das and Mischayev. Namely, if the document is written Midas on Mischayev, then that's not called Eidos Piksav. That's called a Shtar. I called it, I explained it last year, as a kind of blank check, of Eidos in the hands of the Maaseh. Fine. So the point is that where's the Chiddush HaRan asks this question in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Tes, where's the Das HaMischayev if you say Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim Ve'ein Tzarach Lomar Ksovu? Right. So the guy says Ksovu, you guys write it up. That's Das HaMischayev. But where's the Das HaMischayev when it's just Kinyan? So again, you could still say, oh, it's an umdana demuchach. It's implicit. But the better answer would be to say that the idea here is that the way that kinyan sudar works is through das and mischayev. That's what we just explained. Unlike other kinyanim, it's really about concretizing that that's how Reb Chaim understood kinyan sudar. Again, but it has strong roots in the Rishonim already. Right, the whole idea, it's not an exchange, it's not even a symbolic exchange. It's just that this is a way of focusing on the fact that you're not just going along with this Kenyan, you're really interested, and you're really committed. You have Das, as Reb Chaim is to say, not only Das Matne, but Das and Mischayev. So, in a way, whenever this Kenyan, and it's Bifnei Shnayim, the same reason why some people think you need Edikiyum, let's assume we don't pass in that way, that very same reason, right, even if you don't need Eidei Kiyum, it's working on the basis of the principle of Das and Mischayev, Kinyan Sudar. Right, that's how it works. There really is no Maisa Kinyan, there's no real exchange. So that's exactly what the Gemara says. Kinyan, Bifnei Shnayim, the Ein, Tzarach Lomar, Ksovu. When it comes to what you need in shtar, which is dasa miskayiv, you actually have dasa miskayiv whenever you have a kinyan suitor. Now you can still say, you know what, I have a kapeda, don't write the shtar. But you have to intervene to say that. Unlike other kinyanim, where you just don't have the, you know, you don't have sufficient dasa miskayiv, here you do. And this should explain the Rambam. The Rambam Perek Chavtes, Hilchos Mechira, Halachates, is a very strange line, where he says that there's no kinyan suitor for a katan, mentioned before, the Rabbi disagrees. And then he says, why? Because ein adam chosem el al shtar shel adam gadol. So the Alvin also came and wondered what it's like, Mayan and Shemitah and Tzar Sinai. He's trying to explain what's no kinyan suitor, and he's telling us, because when it comes to shtaros, it doesn't apply to Ketan. So the, if you look at the some of the Nosek Halim, Magen Misha says, oh, because the Gemara says Kinyan Bifneshayim, they insert Lamak Silhu. So since a Kinyan is going to turn into a Shtar, and they, there's no such thing as a Shtar Shaladam Katan, therefore there can't be a Kinyan Ladam Katan either. That's the Magen Misha. I think it's Magen Misha. The Magen Misha Kesem Misha. I think it's Magen Misha. So Lechem Misha says, I think it's Lechem Misha. I just don't have it in front of me at the moment, but Lechem Mishnah says, that doesn't make any sense. The Gemara says, if you happen to make a kinyan suitor, it can convert into a shtar. That means you can't have a kinyan suitor for katan because it can't convert into a shtar. That doesn't make any sense at all. You have this additional opportunity when you have kinyan suitor, all things being equal, you have an opportunity to convert the kinyan into a shtar without an explicit command to do so. It means if you don't have this added dimension and opportunity, you won't even have the basic kinyan. That's what you're saying. You say, because you can't convert a kinyan into a shtar, because he's a katan, and there's no shtar of another katan, therefore you shouldn't have the kinyan of the katan either. That doesn't make sense. But, that's why he doesn't understand it. But I think the idea of the way I understood the Rambam is the Magen Mishnah's connection is correct, just the explanation is a little bit different. The point is that this Gemara, when it says, Kinyan Bifnei Shnayim, Vein Tzar Klo Mak Sovu, is telling us that the level of Das required in Kinyan Sudar and the level of Das required in Shtar are one and the same. That's why you don't need an extra tzibui. So the Rambam wants to explain why it is that there's no kinyan suitor for a katan. What does he say? Because there's no shtar for a katan. The connection is correct. Maybe what does shtar have to do with kinyan suitor? Because kinyan can turn into shtar. But not because if you can't turn it into a shtar, you can't even have the kinyan. That doesn't make sense. That's very hard to say. But meaning, the fact that kinyan turns into a shtar is an indication that the level of das is common to both. But if that's true, then let's look to shtar to see whether katan is included in this idea of dasa mishayev. And we see from shtar that he's not. So that reflects poorly on kinyan suitor as well. That's the connection. Okay. So that's number one. The second point is the other
doses. What happens by a chasana by the ksuba with the kinyan suda that takes place.
The kinyan suda of the chasana, I mean the ksuba. Not the adim, but the chasan makes a kinyan sudar on the conditions of the ksuba.
So the chasan makes it.
The chasan makes a kinyan. There are people who in the Maram Sadek Kishon have the adim making kinyan, but I'm not sure why they do that. The Rambam says in Parakei Hilchos Mechira, you know, everybody's making kinyan suitors for everything. I don't know why. But that I don't know. I can only tell you what I do when I'm a Sadek Kishon at a wedding. The chasan has to be Mishayev himself to the conditions of the ksuva. Number one, it's a backup kinyan. And number two, triggers the shibudim, you know, more immediately. So the chasan makes a kinyan, and that's witnessed by the two Adim. And then, once that happens, we write in the word v'kanin. It's like it's usually a blank.
Makes a kinyan with whom?
The chasan makes a kinyan, and the besara kiddushin usually uses a handkerchief or a pen representing he is mezakeh for the wife. This is a kinyan that the husband makes, committing to his soon-to-be wife that he will honor the commitments of the Ksivim. That's what happens. And that is witnessed by two Edim. And then after that, usually what happens is that there's a blank, usually in the Ksivim. Right? And it's supposed to be written Vikonina, which means, and the Kinyan took place. So for reasons of Nechsi Kashikra, which is like, you shouldn't write the word Vikonina before the Kinyan took place, because it hasn't yet taken place. So in many Ksuvas, if you buy a Ksuva in the bookstore, right, in America certainly, so you'll see that there are blanks for the dates, there's blanks for the names, there's blanks for the, sometimes for the amounts, and then there's one blank towards the end, so that blank is for Vikanina. Vikanina means, and the Kinyan Suda was made by the Chasan. The Kanina Min, right, from the Chasan, right, to the Kala, right, I'll call the Mada the Kasher Limik Nayabe, which means a Kli that is appropriate for Kinyan Sudar, right? About Kol Sharir Vakayam. And then we have the Neum, the signature. There are people who have the Edim also making Kinyan Sudar. I don't know exactly why they do that.
Sometimes you just leave the Yud Kanina.
Yeah, I do that too sometimes. Then you make it Viranina. That's the other thing you do. And then you just, which doesn't mean anything, and then you just extend the Reish.
In your discussion to a Kuf. Kilid Shilkona, Kilid Shilmakna.
Yeah.
So how do we use
We pass in Kilid Shilkona.
Kilid Shilkona.
At the Machlokas Rav and Levi. In Bab Metzia, Daf Mem Zayin, and that's another example of what I'm talking about. Actually,
she's providing the son
on behalf of the wife.
So
she's the kohen. As I'm mezake, or the Masada Kedushin, whoever he is mezake in Zaken Ladim Shalom Fano on behalf of the kona, which is the wife. That's the question of Kelo Shel Kona, Kelo Shel Makna, is how do you read the psukim in Rus that you talked about before, that you mentioned before. And it's machlokas between Rav and Levi and Sigid Bab Metzia and Hazav Paradaf Mem Zayin is that machlokas. So Rav is of the opinion that it's Kelo Shel Kona, and Levi is of the opinion that it's Kelo Shel Makna. Now we paskin that it's Kelo Shel Kona, which means that's why I'm Mizaka for the Masada Kedushin is Mizaka for the wife. In terms of normal kinyanim, it should be the Kona. Because there's some sort of an exchange here, quid pro quo. I give and I get. So I'm giving. I'm the kona. I'm buying a field. I'm buying a watch. I'm being mekadesh. I'm acquiring a wife. Let's say I was trying to do that, or I'm, you know, as the case may be. So the point is that it should be Caleb Shel Kona, because I'm getting something and I should be giving something. Yet Levi, and we pass in that way, we pass in like Rav. But Levi says it's Caleb Shel Makna. So what does that mean, Caleb Shel Makna? The Makna is giving a Sudar, and he's also throwing in the field together with it. What does that mean? So the Gemara itself in Bab Metzia asks this question. The Gemara says, what is this, Kinyan Agav? We have something called Kinyan Agav. If you want to piggyback metalkalin on top of karka, so you can do that. You can have a kinyan karka, and you can transfer the metalkalin. It's called kinyan agav, metalkalin agav karka. But you can't have karka agav metalkalin. So the Gemara says, "What do you think this is, lady? This is a reverse agav." So the Gemara says, "No, that's not what lady had in mind." And then they have a whole, again, I don't have the language of the Gemara here, but the Gemara says, "Yeah, they have a whole language." No, lady thinks that in order to trigger the das and the kinyan of the makne. So he first is makne, the guy is makabel his suda or whatever it is, and that somehow kind of gets the process going. It's very strange. Like, what are they talking about? So the Bali Tosa say maybe it's like a kinyan of Adam Chashuv. The Gemara says in Kedushin that if an Adam Chashuv receives a gift, so the person who gives the gift is so excited that by hiyana, that it's like receiving, better. It's not generally better to to give than to receive. But if you're giving to an Adam Kosher, then it's better to give, you know, than to receive. So so that's what they clamor to say. It doesn't sound that way in the Gemara. And then, you know, the Kiddushin is, then the Kinyan is with the Hana, and we're only be limited to Adam Kosher. It's very strange. So what's really going on? So I think it's exactly this idea. Again, it's this idea that there were two, there's Machlokas in the Gemara, Rav and Levi. We paskin like Rav. But the idea of Levi is now very understandable. The question is, what is it that makes you concretize, you know, that makes more concrete your commitment, your level of das, when it isn't a real exchange or a maisa kinya? Is it the exchange? He gave me something, therefore I feel obligated to him. It's not because what I'm getting and what I'm giving are exchanged one for the other, but you know, his having started the ball rolling and giving me something, you know, puts me in a mode of being more serious and more concrete, you know, when I commit, you know, to be makne, you know, to him. Or is it the opposite? I'm in a framework of hakna. So first I started off with a real classical hakna. Right? And once I'm in that framework, then if I want to commit even to a bigger purchase, just the commitment itself in the context, instead of being Dvarim B'Alma or Machshava B'Alma, since it's in a framework of real kinyan, so that framework, I already started the ball rolling in terms of hakna, so now das can be makna as well. Maybe that's the idea of like, okay, I spent more time than I wanted to on that, but that's this is obviously very, I'm just touching the surface, but this is the issue in Kinyan Suda. Anyways, so one line, 2 points now. We have these, you know, statements of Rabbi, Rav Nachman, Bacha, Bodah, Hodah is the exception, and then we have Kinyan. So number one, as I mentioned before, if we say that Kinyan Dipnei Shnayim means Kinyan Sudar, right? So is it possible that Mecha Dipnei Shnayim also means, I'm sorry, means Edekiyum. So is it possible that Mecha Dipnei Shnayim also requires Edekiyum? It's according to the Raibid, those who took the language of the Gemara as an imperative, namely, Kinyan needs Shnayim. So it sounds like Kinyan needs Shnayim, Hodah needs Shnayim, Hodah needs Shnayim, and Becha needs Shnayim. So this is the source. Certainly it sounds that way in the Ravid, not just Kinyan, and the Meiri is explicit even more than the Ravid, that according to those people who interpret Kinyan b'fnei Shnayim as a requirement for Edekiyum, hu adin l'modah u'l'becha. And that's the source of saying that maybe Becha requires Edekiyum. We talked about this previously, but this is an important source. That's number one. Number two is the halakha itself of mecha b'fnei shnayim eitzah for maksovu, which means that there's something called a shtar mecha. And it's a shtar mecha which can be written without further intervention. So I mentioned before that what is the basis of a shtar as opposed to hedus miksav? Dasa miskayev, right? So where's the dasa miskayev in mecha? In Kinyan, in Hoda'ah, there's a Mishayim. And the Mishayim is the one, right, who is taking the initiative. Who's taking the initiative in Mecha? Who issues the Mecha? The Marakaba. Who's the one who suffers from the Mecha adversely? The Machzik. So Mecha, Aydeh Marakaba, with Tobas Atzmo, Bifnei Shnayim, and the Edom are allowed to write it up, Ein Tzar Chol Mark Sovo, they don't even have to be told, they can write it up. Where's the Dasa Mishayev? It should be Edus Piksav, in which case it should be meaningless, because in Piyam Rolam Piksavo. So that's Tosis' question. Bottom Tosis here, Lama Tesla Beis, says as follows. Mecha Bifnei Shnayim, Ein Tzar Chol Mark Sovo, in Tomar, Uma Moel Haksiva, how does it help? Hello, Choshev Shtar, Lo Nasa Midas Mishu Chavaso. Kigon Shtar Mecher, Midas Mocher, Shtar Matana, Midas Nosein, Shtar Milva, Midas Love. Right, where's the Dasa Mishayev here? And therefore, why is there any concept of Shtar? Then Tosis goes on and says, the Edus Nami Lo Choshev, lest you will say, oh, it isn't the Shtar, it's Edus Piksav. Right, we're just saying that the record of there being a Mechah to Edus Piksav is something that is automatic. That doesn't work either. Edus Nami Lo Chashiv. Pivlon Piksava. Who Pirish Rashi Pirish Akhol Mishal Yichnu Waitasi Gerets Nishal Kol Bezdin. Well, you're not allowed to send a deposition in the mail. This is, of course, one of the Tosas in, this is Tosas in Ksuvas, Tosas in Yavamos, Tosas here, that we discussed last year in the very beginning of the year, when we talked about Gittin and Sharos. The Shlomar, so Tosas here gives two answers. Number one, the Takonis Chachamim he, Sheikhashiv Aidus Kade Lavatal Lachazaka, Aidus Kaldahu, Shevadavar Muad Mevatal Lachazaka, Tafili Yisbar Lamishal Oshama Hamaksik Maka, Mahani Lavatal Chazaka. So this I made reference to Tosas before because we were talking about that issue at the time. Which issue? Is Mecha, right, a Kiddush or Mecha is obvious? Meaning it's easy to break up a Chazaka as long as you're not silent? Or the Chazaka is a powerful force, and to neutralize it requires a formidable institution. Moreover, the Chazaka, the Mecha, has to be made by the Marakama, or has to be heard by the Maksik. As we know in our survey of last 6 or 7 shiurim, of these 2.5 lapim, right, Lamed Ches Tumem, as we know quite well, that's a major debate among the Rishonim. Right? If the Marakama, in all good faith, issues a Mecha, but the Maksik, you know, for some exceptional reason, doesn't hear about it, is that a proper Mecha or not? Is the Mecha based on Shtikas Marakama, and therefore there's no Shtika as long as he, good faith, makes it and assumes that it can be heard? Or is it based on the fact that you ignored it, and what happened to his Darinish Bishtare, where's your star when you should be holding on to it? In which case, if he doesn't know about it, and he can prove he didn't know about it, or we believe him he didn't know about it, then what do you want from him? So here, Tosas, the first day of Tosas, right, weighs in on this issue. Tosas says, you're right. From the perspective of normal Dinei Shtaros, this should not work. It's not Eidus Miksav, and it's not a star. And therefore, a star Mecha would seemingly be totally insignificant. Except for one thing, and that is, a Mecha does not require much legal status. Any Mecha Koldehu is sufficient. Why? Because what's really important about Mecha is only one thing. There's no silence. The Marakama is trying to react. If we can get it on record, and we believe it, that he is not silent, even if it isn't a formal legal document, from other perspectives, it's enough. And how do we know that a Mecha Koldehu is enough, and all we care about is that he's not silent? Says Tosas, because if the Maksik doesn't hear about it, we don't care, as long as the Marakama made a good faith effort to do it. So in this last part of the sugya, Tosas weighs in on this issue and tells us that Mecha Koldehu is sufficient. Tosas has a second answer, however, and that goes as follows. And this is what we should know from last year. He goes on to say, let's just finish this line. The Gam Moda'a, after all this is stated also by Moda'a, where he informs the fellow that he is under pressure. Gam Moda'a takaris chakamim yi lahatzila'a ne'enas. And kim shtaros nami mishum demay sedezim chom may sedezim nechtav shalom v'ratzun achayim. Fine. Odor ve'r omer ri, sheshama rebenu min rebenu tam, shenoagim l'shaleach edem bedusa bigeres lebezdin, v'choshev edus. The second answer is according to the position of Rabbeinu Tam, which is what we discussed a lot last year, which is, Rabbeinu Tam disagreed with his grandfather, Rashi's psak, that you can't send the deposition in the mail. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you can send the deposition in the mail. What about the ruling of the PM Balomi Peaks of them? So, Tosas explains, the Choshev Edus, it's fine. I've heard the Darshini B'Sifrei Mipim V'lo Mipik Savam. Lo Asa El Lemute Dafka Ilem She'eno Bar Hagada. This is to exclude a Gavra Ilem, somebody who doesn't have the capability of Hagada B'Peh. Hava Roy La Hagada Ein Hagada Ma'keves Bo. That's the famous view of Rabbeinu Tam. V'hod Amrina B'Perek Basic Suvas Kosev Adam Medusa Al Ashtar Who Made Aleha Acha Kama Shanim. Question is, the Gemara in Ksuva says, say a person has a diary in which he writes down things that took place. Had it not been for the diary, he wouldn't have remembered. can he just submit the words of the diary to court even though he doesn't remember them? The answer is no. No. According to Rabbeinu Tam, why not? After all, Eidus Miksav is considered to be Eidus. Well, that's the question. Hainu Kesheinu Motzi Ksav Yado Bebezdin. So Rabbeinu Tam says, you're right. Such a thing could work. What the Gemara meant there was, if you quote the diary, instead of sending the diary to court, now if you say, you come to court and you say, this is the testimony that I know, but you don't really remember it. You only know it because of what you read. That's no good. But if you were to come to court and say, I don't remember a word, but this is what I wrote in my diary, that would be Eidus Miksav, and that would work, according to Rabbeinu Tam. We paskin that it's not so, but it's Rabbeinu Tam here. That's one answer Tosfos gives. Or, the ode, Shem Eidechad Miksav in Choshev Eidus. She'en shtar elodebeis, l'hoch elamani, fahidiksuv sabiliyot Miksav Yadav. Even if you were to give in the diary, maybe only Eidus Miksav signed by two people. But one is not even sufficient to be Mechayev v'shvua. This is the idea that Eidus v'shtar requires Shnei Eidim for two reasons. Number one, because you need two Eidim dinim amenas. And number two, because a shtar requires two Eidim la shvuye shtar, to create a shame shtar. Okay. That's also a debate in the Rishon. In the case of Mecha, it's obvious. We have that line because we want to fit into the other case. The condition Mecha is that all you need is two. Even though he didn't tell them to write, they made it, when they wrote, they made it seem as if he did. Okay. Just one other hara, which is just to remind you of, again, what we discussed last year about this, and that is, the Rabbeinu Tam's position is sometimes contrasted with that of the Rambam's. Again, the mainstream position is that a shtar only is a shtar if it's das and mischayev. Generally, we pass him like Rashi, that inanam shalech igeres edus modes. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's only ilayim that is excluded, and adam shalech igeres modes. The Rambam's position in Hilchos Eidus, Parag Gimel, is that the Rambam starts off and he says that shtar, or edus of the shtar, is only drabana. After all, he says, "Mipiyam v'lo mipiksava." So all shtaros are drabana. The only thing is, "Kachom mid takana," and that's why shtaros are effective. So some people suggest that Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam are opposites. So both Rabbeinu Tam and Rambam faced a difficult choice. There's a clash between two halachos: shtar and mipiyam v'lo mipiksava. So the mainstream Rishonim said, both of these institutions can coexist. The difference is, das and mischayev or not das and mischayev. When there's das and mischayev, it's shtar. When there's no das and mischayev, it's in piyam v'lo mipiksav. Rabbeinu Tam thought that no, it's basically pretty much mutually exclusive concepts. Either you have to believe in a strong, wide scope for piyam v'lo mipiksav, in which case, shtar is very limited. If you think that shtar is an expansive, effective document in halacha, then you have to limit the piyam v'lo mipiksavam. It has to be narrowed significantly. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam did. He opted for option number two. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the piyam v'lo mipiksavam is limited to things like healing. And the Rambam thought exactly the opposite. Like Rabbeinu Tam, he felt that he was faced with a difficult choice, namely that it's either shtar or mipiksava. The Rambam felt that the normative, you know, prevailing principle is mipiyam v'lo mipiksava. Therefore, he felt that edus shev shtar, all things being equal, is only drabana. Of course, that leaves you with a huge dilemma. That's the famous question that the Ramban asks against the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos. What are you going to do about shtar kiddushin and shtar shechoreved, and especially gittin? And that's where some of the Achorim suggested that there should be a difference between Shtar Kinyan and Shtar Raya. Now, when you have a Shtar Kinyan, like Gittin and Kiddushin and Shechur Eved and Mechira, so then even the Eidos is Doraisa. It's only when you have a Shtar Raya, for example, you make a Kinyan, let's say through Hagbah or Meshicha, and you write up a Shtar. Or you make a Kinyan through Chazakah, and you write up a Shtar. So that Shtar, which is L'shem Raya, not L'shem Kinyan, even its Eidos is only Drabanan, according to the Rambam. The issue is much more complicated than that, as we discussed, but at least that's the Rashi Prakim of what appears here. Okay, now let's go back to Chaptes Omer Aleph and start back on the issues of Chazak. Okay, we're not going to be able to finish this week, but at least let's start. Okay, so the Gemara here on Chaptes Omer Aleph says as follows. Amar Rav Huna. Everybody have it? It's almost in the middle of the page on Chaptes Omer Aleph. Amar Rav Huna. Let's just go through the Gemara quickly to raise some of the questions, and then we'll pursue them next week. I'll try to get to a sheet of Mar Makomos for next week also. Amar Rav Huna. Everybody have it? Shalosh Shanim Sha'amru Hu Sha'chalim B'tzufas. And now we're back to Dinei Chazaka. The 3 years that we speak of in the Mishnah that are required to establish a Chazaka on the Karka, Hushakolon Ritzufos. That's if there was continuity in the 3 years. Meaning you were living in the Karka and working the Karka for 3 straight years. The Gemara says, Maika Mashmalon. Isn't that obvious? Tina Chazkason Shaloshanim Yom Liyom. We already know that the Chazaka has to be 3 years day to day, I mean 3 years to the day of the beginning of the Chazaka, and not less. So if it's 3 years of the Chazaka, not less, then obviously it has to be Ritzufos, one after the other. So the Gemara says, no. Now the same, we might have thought, Miyom Yom La'afuke Mikutaos U'le'olam Afilu Mipuzaros Kamashvalam. Meaning what? One might have thought when the Gemara, when the Mishnah says, Miyom Liyom, what it means 3 years, day to day, what it means is that ultimately you can only count full years. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the years have to be contiguous. Let's say you have 3 years worth of working the land, but it's spaced out over 4 years or 5 years, right? But you've done 3 years of avoda in the karka, as opposed to what? Mikutos. What is mikutos? Let's say you work 2.5 years, right? Or 2.75 years. So mikutos means how many years are you working in the karka? Ritzufos means whether or not there is retzef, right? Continuity one after the other. Kamash Malan, I might have thought that you don't need ritzufos, but you can't have Mikutaos, and that you need Shleimos, but you don't need Ritzufos, Kavashmalan. That's the Gemara. Let's go through the Shakavatar first, and then we'll break down each piece. Then the Gemara says, Omer Abchaba, Modi Ravuna, Ba'asri, Demovri, Bagi. This is very interesting, very important Gemara. Abchaba said, even Ravuna, who says that you need Ritzufos, continuity, 1 year after the other, will agree in a situation where, let's say the farmers leave the field fallow for a year in the middle. They plant a year and then they leave it a year. They plant a year and they leave it a year. Or maybe every few years, whatever the case may be. So Atri, Demovri, Bagi, Rav Huna will agree that there can still be Chazaka. Instead of saying, I'm a strict constructionist, it always has to be continuous, years, 3 years, you know, if the 3 years don't include like 3 full years, if there's no chazaka, right, Rav Huna will agree that sometimes the 3 years can be spaced over 4 years or longer. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Not sure why the Gemara thought it was Pshita, we'll get to that in a minute. So the Gemara says, Otsricha, Deikadimovri, let's say if it's a place where everybody is movir, where everybody has the practice, you know, to let the land be fallow for a period, so then it's obvious that that will not break up a chazaka. However, if some people do and some people don't, the high gabra mobra, and this guy leaves it. Now the same, I might have thought, Omele imisa de didachu, ahavoy, sorry, iboilach limizra. The markama will say, listen, if it was really your karka, you should have been planting. Because some people do. Hamash malon, Omele, chada arabi kule baga, lo matina linter. Number one, right? I'm not going to hire a shomer if I'm the only guy in the valley here who's planting this year. It's not worthwhile for me to hire a crew when no one else is planting. It's not economically feasible. Vinami, another point, it's actually beneficial for the production of, again, Tu B'Shvat, you know, soon, that for producing the proper productivity in the land, to take the longer view and to let it be fallow, occasionally. It's interesting. Two things are interesting about this Gemara. Let me just raise the questions now, and then we'll go back and break down, the details. When the Gemara says that according to Rav Huna, even Rav Huna will agree that Ba'atri Demovri, that it works, what does the Gemara mean? It means that Rav Huna will agree that you can count the year of fallow karka so that the 3 years includes two active year and one passive year? Or it means that in that situation, 4 years is good. So the majority of Rishonim say the second. The Rashbam, the Bali Tosis, the Ramban, almost all the Rishonim, we'll soon see. The Rabban quoted in the, if I could borrow the Rambam for a minute, in Hagos Maimonios, some people think the Rambam himself say the first. Namely that even the fallow year, it's 3 years, but one of the years is a passive year in as much as, one second, Perek Yubeis of Ustoyim Benitzan, Halacha, Dalid, Ram says as follows: Shalosh shanim she'amru tzrichas she'yu ritzufa zu achar zu. The 3 years have to be one after the other. Hare shehifzik basada v'zara shana. Right, he took over a piece of karka. Right, he assumed control and he planted it 1 year. V'ho vira shana, and then he left it fallow for a year. V'zara shana, then he planted again, and then he left it again. Afil osa chayim kama shanim lo ichsik. Hoya darkan shabnei osa mako v'ovir. But if it's the minag amedina, right, to leave it fallow, apapisha miktsasan zorin shana achar shana, miktsasan zorin shana morin shana, even if it's yesh v'yesh, harei ze ichsik. That's a chazaka. Sharehu omer, lo havarti osa elekadei shetase Harbe Bishnas Hazriya, because it's better for its ultimate productivity. Does the Rambam think that you need 4 years or 6 years or 3 years? I also think 3 years. It's not the Magid Mishnah thinks that the Rambam here, like the Rashbam and most Rishonim, does not count the passive year. He just thinks it doesn't break up the minyan, but he doesn't count it as well. I personally agree with you.
He's crediting the passive year.
This is Ritzufos. He's crediting the passive year. Certainly the Ravan is. If you look at the Ravan, quoted here in the Hagos Maimonios, Pirush Rashbam, Miyushana Shehivira, this is our Rashbam on the spot, which we'll read hopefully in a couple of minutes. We'll get to it next time. Miyushana Shehivira, Ina Olala Cheshbon Shalosh Shnei Chazaka. But the passive year does not count for the three. Tzarich lishmar shtara atchiyuko tuos gimel shanim. Right, you have to actually be doing active labor in the karka for 3 years. For?
Three fruitful years,
correct. And it's just not broken up by aval, the pirish ravan, says Agos Mamunios, nimtza muga, ba'achidim over bagi, chazaka b'shalot shanim. Even though he's not active in all of them, the 3 years includes the passive the oxikad oxikai inshi b'nei amakom, because he's behaving like an owner. The chol pasch b'shiyish lashos bosom gimel shanim asa b'tovcha shnas zriya zara shnas nir nara. Other mina nir will have a chazak and a batu de lo maver bovri. The pirush atam kedishal titan bracha l'shiurim lepamim gimel shanim lepamim sheish shanim etc. Usmach matzul dvarav v'sharei bina shal rabai. So this is the famous view of the Ravon. It's also the view of the Bala Itur, that we act, and maybe the view of the Rambam, that we actually count. I'm just going to ask you this probably for another, back in another minute. So this is an important question. Let me ask a different question. Let me raise the questions today, and we'll try to answer them next week. According to most Rishonim, we were in agreement. According to most Rishonim, the passive year does not get counted. It just doesn't break up the minyan, but it doesn't get counted. So how many years, let's say you go a year, you know, active, passive, active, passive, active, passive. So how many years should you require to establish a chazaka?
6 years. Six.
Six?
Five.
Who said five?
Well,
five or six?
Well, depends when you start. Well, you have to start.
Well, you have to start with the act.
With the act, right.
So one would think five, right? So the Ramban says six. So you're in good company. But the Pashtus, the answer should be five. Because the whole point is that Ba'atri D'mav B'Ribagi, you don't break up, but it doesn't count. So you have 1 year, then you have a year that doesn't break it up. Right, then you have the second year, doesn't break it up, and then you have the third year. That's five, not six.
Well, maybe you need.
So we have to. What?
Maybe you need a cycle.
Ah, so we have to explain the Ramban's idea. What do you mean by cycle? I mean it's like a unit. Instead of looking at it as 3 years, albeit not broken up, maybe the better way to look at it is that there are three units, but we've expanded the way of looking at the units. Instead of looking at the unit, the year of Zriya, we say, oh, Zriya, because Zriya Bittel is one unit. Zriya Bittel is the second unit. Zriya Bittel then becomes a third unit, in which case you end up with six. So these are two different perspectives.
One time I had 6 years in which to issue a makor.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So we'll get back to that point, but I think it's exactly, that's a very important argument. Okay. The Gemara goes on. Let's just get this through the Shakavataria first, and then we'll break this down.
How come the Rambam doesn't mention the first answer in the Gemara?
Ah, very good. Good, yeah. Glad you reminded me of that. Yeah. So in the Gemara, it sounds like there are two different explanations for the fact that Yesh Atri, there are some places where they do it, some places they don't do it. Well, the guy will say, oh, well, you should be doing it. And he'll say, number one, it's not financially feasible. And number two, it's not feasible in terms of the productivity of the karka. So one could have thought, the Gemara, and certainly according to some Rishonim, this is the case, these are two equally valid explanations of his behavior. It's interesting that the Rambam only quotes the second. So let me say it this way. If you hold that the Rambam held like the Rabban, or if you hold like the Rabban, I might say, just even more directly, which is that not only the year, the fallow year, doesn't break up the Chazaka, but that the fallow year is part of the process. It's all part of the process of being a Bailim, and therefore counts for that year. So then the question of economic feasibility is a lot less convincing to count that passive year as a real year of chazaka than is the argument of agricultural productivity. Now, if I can say leaving the karka alone makes it more productive, right? It recharges its nutrients, whatever the case may be. You know, to say then, oh, it may look passive, this is part of the process, is a lot stronger an argument than it is to say, you know what, I'm not going to hire my own shomer. So maybe, if the Rambam really holds like the Rabban, which both of our instinct was yes, although the Magen Mishnah others say no, Then the idea that he dropped or was uncomfortable with the financial explanation and went instead for the, you know, more intrinsic agricultural explanation, I think would make a lot of sense. Okay, let's get back to the Shastra Matarya first, and then we'll get back to some of the other issues. So now the Gemara gets even more fascinating and much more practical too. The Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the Mishnah, Cheskas Habatim. Right? Mishnah speaks about Cheskas Habatim, not just Hasados. How do you establish Chazaka not only in a field, in a business, but in a home? Why do we care? Av Habatim Tibi Mama Yadi Bilelia Lo Yadi. What's the Gemara asking? So let's talk about the question first, then I'll tell you how the Rishonim interpret it. The Gemara says, listen, in a bias, right, there's day and night. How do you know what's going on in the house and whether the guy's living in the house at night? During the day, people are up and about, there's hustle and bustle, and there's, you know, it's light. And you can see people going in and out of the house. But at night, you don't know what's going on there. So the Gemara seems to be asking, how can you establish a chazaka, right, in a house? Only half the time period can be accounted for. Now the way the Rashbam and Tosos and Ramban and almost all Rishonim are explicit about it, the way they ask the question is as follows. Let's just look at the Rashbam for a second. The Rashbam says, Bilelia Layadi, you don't know what's going on at night. Fafila Hakiya Bachazaka. Nonetheless, we say that you can establish a chazaka after 3 years, even though it seems like you don't know what's going on there half the time, right? Tadishlo magavi sada. If we're talking about a field, the kolhanich dein dark and lasas malacha balayla. So a field is closed for the night, right? A factory is closed for the night. Ukishem amidim edim amalecha simei shalashanim or is a chazaka. So if you have Edom who come and say during the day hours, during work hours, expected work hours, this field, this factory, this store is functioning properly, right? That's fine. There's nothing that's supposed to be happening at night, and therefore you don't need Edos Balayla. Aval batim shederach ladur behen Balayla, but people live in their homes day and night. Therefore the expectation is, or the way that we gauge presence, is not only during the daytime hours, but nighttime hours as well. But he can't account for the night. We need the night, but we can't account for it. It's not like a factory where we don't need the night. The kinin de lesle sahad de alalelos, since he can't account for what's going on at night, and that's half of the chazaka, this is the chiddush of the Rashbam, havalehu mefuzaros, that's the kesher in the Gemara. Gemara says that according to Rav Huna they have to be Ritzufos. But the Edom can't possibly know what's going on at night. So all we really know is what's going on during the day. So you have, every day you have Mefuzaros. The Misa de Rav Huna, Matzi Irech Lemitan Ani Reisi Shaloi Sidar Balaylos, Tachu Chashti Limchos, the Golis Adaita Thalav Nidach, Vamaya Bechazak Metzat Zerashbam, Lushitas, and we'll leave that for now. But this is the question. This is the way Tosa understands the question, this is the way the Ramban understands the question. Basically, the Gemara is equating Yamim and Lelos, when the Lelos cannot be documented, with Mifuzaros. Oh, so that's the question. This is the question that it's raising now, is what level of Edus do you require? There really are three questions. What level of activity do you really require for a chazaka? What level of edos do you require for that level of activity? Do you have to cover every minute? And if not, then, you know, what's the shiur of acceptable absences, let's call them? And is there a notion of hashlama? Can you, are you obligated to, and can you compensate if there are gaps in your chazaka? Now this is a huge question. So this is the locus classicus, this is the source for this question, and by extension of all things the Rishonim have a very extensive discussion here about Mekomos Beis HaKnesses, establishing a chazaka in shul. Let's say you're not in shul every day, or every tefillah.
Only Shabbos.
Or let's say you go on business trips now and then, and you miss a couple of minchabarids, or a few weeks of davening completely, because you're davening on the road, or wherever you are. So you can never establish a chazaka unless you're there all the time when the shul is functioning. Again, no one thinks you have to sleep in shul. Beyond balelos, right? Some people do sleep in shul, but that's a different story, right? I mean, everybody understands that, like a factory and like a sada, right? That it's the expected hours of shul, so it's zman tzvila. But the question is, you miss one, you're finished. And if so, and if not, so there's a certain amount of absences that are acceptable. Does it depend why you're absent? Does it have to be an excused absence? There are absences for avelus, right? Unfortunately, where people move their seat or their shiva, and we shouldn't talk about it. There are absences for business. There are absences for pleasure. There are absences for simply laziness, right? And not the zmanenu, right? But
lots of business,
right? But in the olden days, you see, the Rosh is very candid about it. So the question is, you know, one. Does it maybe even excuse absences break it up?
What about if there's a minion?
Or, if there are excused absences, do you have to still make it up? So for you to make your shul, to get your Beis HaKnesses seat, chazaka, maybe it doesn't take 3 years, maybe it takes 3.5, or 4. What did you ask?
What about a different minion? You can have a chazaka for a different minion, too.
Well, that'll be the same kind of... Some kind of issue. You mean you daven here and you daven there?
No, you daven at the same shul, but there are different minyanim, so you would have a chazaka for different time periods.
In Akhanami, right? Complicated issue. Makomos Beis HaKnesses got a lot of press in the Middle Ages. Amazing. I mean, the Rush, the Rajba, the Baal Itur, everybody's fighting the Yad Ramah. They're all fighting about Makomos Beis HaKnesses. We talk like it today. You sell seats, you know. Oh, they sat in my seat. He's sitting in my seat.
What?
You see from here, they're really, again, it's incredible passion about this. It's but of course, the bigger issue is the issue that we're talking about. Well, you know, what is consumed? What breaks up a certain established pattern? You know, excused absences, unexcused absences. You have to make up for it. You don't. Is it 50%? What exactly is it? You know, the rhythm of presence and the rhythm of being identified, I guess, with a certain either, you know, behavior or... So this is all, we're going to stop in a minute, but these are all issues that come up in this sugya. Now, I mentioned that the Rashbam, Tosus, the Ramban, almost all of them talk about it, understand the connection of the Gemara here. Previously, the Gemara was talking about Ritzufos and Nefuzaros, a year of work, a year of fallow, and so on, right? Whether it's Atri Demovribagi, this is the expected, you know, way that people behave in their fields, or the guy happens to take a year off, or whatever the case may be. Fine. But a year here, you're not, etc. Then the Gemara says, question, what about Yomim and Lailos? So the way most Rishonim say is, oh, Yomim and Lailos, it's Mufuzar and Meritzufos. I have to say, it always bothered me. Why did it bother me? It just seemed to me that it wasn't so obvious that, let's assume you don't hold like Rav Huna. Let's say according to the perspective that Gimel Shanim does not require Ritzufos. It doesn't have to be continuous. Fuzaris is enough too. So if the guy, you know, was trying to establish a chazaka on a house, a domicile, but he's never home at night, or he's significantly not home at night, that would be the same as a year here, a year gone, a year here, a year gone. It always bothered me, meaning I would have thought that Yomim and Lelos was a more fundamental connection than the continuity of years. Because in a home, it's not just, you know, 24 hours, and, you know, the question is, you don't have 24, then you only have 12, or you only have 10, or you only have 14 that you can account for, you know, in any sense. It's either, I would think, one of two extremes. You know, you take Yomim and Lelos as a unit, Lekula or Lechumra. You say, listen, it's a home, and you don't measure by, you know, by how many minutes you're in the house. It's not 24 hours. You know, it's people come in and out of their house, and you know, if they're not home at night, then it's batel the lila. So what's going on with the lila is batel agav the bigger picture. That's one perspective. That's lekula, you could say, or lechumra. We'll say, you know, if there's a problem with lelos, it's a much more severe. If you have all yamim, or you can account for all yamim, but you can't account for all lelos, that's a much bigger problem than having 1 year and then a year off and then another year and another year off. You might be able to combine the years, but the yamim where the, every lila is a hafsek is a nightmare. That's not living in a home. Right, so either it's going to be batel agav, I would have thought, or it's going to be such a problem that forget about Ravuna, everybody's going to have a problem with this. So the truth is that if you look at the, if I could bother again, the Rambam, this is a diyuk, nothing explicit, but if the problem of yamim and lelos were a problem of mifuzaros and ritzufos, then which halakha has to come first? The requirement of ritzufos. You need to have ritzufos, and then address the question, as the Gemara does, we'll get to the answer in the Gemara in a second, of yamim v'leilos. The Rambam flips the order. In Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Hevi edim sheyadar b'chatzer zu gimel shanim, o shesachar gimel shanim reizu chazaka, toan b'alachatzer v'omar shemel o shochan b'al yom b'al b'ayla, maybe he wasn't there day and night, o shema, or the people he rented to weren't there day and night. Prove that they were there yom and v'leilos. That's Perek Beis of Asayin V'Nitan, Halacha Beis. It's only in Halacha Dalid that the Rambam says Shalos Shanim Sha'amru Tzrichos Sheyu Ritzufos Zu Acharzu. It sounds like the requirement that there be leilos in conjunction with the yamim is separate from the requirement of ritzufos. It's more basic. That's called life in a home. Right? It's not a question of quantity and continuity. Because you have your 3 years, but they're spread out. Right? Well, if you have yamim, you don't have leilos, you don't have diros bayis. So I think that really is a pshat. The Rambam doesn't interpret it like the other Rishonim, and that's why he had it in this order. But there is something to say. I mean, what's it got to do with the sugya? Okay, that's a good question. Why is it brought up here? And it also connects to the next point of the Gemara. So let me just finish the Shaka Vataria, since I have 1 minute left, and then we'll go over this again next time, and we'll break down some of the details, and then we'll talk about the Beis HaKnesses and compensation and all of those interesting issues. Oh. So the Gemara's answer is as follows. Rav Amar, I'm sorry, Abaya Amar, Amar Abaya, Man Masid Abatim. What's the question? How can you ever have Cheskas Abatim? You never know what's going on at night, and therefore, either it's a bigger question, right? Never mind Rav Huna. There's simply no pattern of living in the home. Or, according to the most Rishonim, according to Rav Huna, who requires Ritzufos, right? What are you going to do about the break of, the possible break of Leilos? So the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Abaye, Man Masir Abatim, Shivvi, who are the Edim for Keskes Abatim, the neighbors, Shiva Meida Yadi, Beimamo Balelya. Right, what for the good or for bad, the neighbors always know what's going on. They know what's going on at night, they know what's going on during the day. The omni, you know, present, alert neighbors. Okay. Rav Amar, Kigon to Asa Betrev Amri, the only time, according to Rava, the question whether Rava disagrees with Abaye. But assuming the Rava disagrees with Abaye, which is an argument in the Rishonim, if Rava is saying something distinctive, so Rava might be saying, Shivvi are not good enough. Be at 3 in the morning, maybe they're good till 11 at night. You know, but they're not good at 3 in the morning. So who's going to be good? So Rava says, Kigon to Asa Betrev Amri, Anana Grinan Mine, Vidorina Betlos Shnin, Biyamamu Valelia. His two witnesses for his Cheskas Gimel Shanim are the people who he rented the house to who have been living there. They can come and testify, we live there, we're there every night, and so the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Yehiel, Rav Ashi, they can testify about their own presence in the house. Hani Nogin Beidusanein, they're too close to the issue. They're Nogeh B'davar. Why are they Nogeh B'davar? Well, it's true that they're living there, But so what? I mean, the issue is whether legally he, the maskir, owns the property. Well, so why are they no gea b'davar? We'll get back to this question, but just superficially. So the Gemara says, the ilo amar hachi, aminu lehu, zilu havale agar besa lahai. The reason they're no gea b'davar is because they have a financial interest. What's financial interest? They've been paying rent to this machzik. If they come along now and they say that we weren't here for the last 3 years, day and night, so then the property reverts to the marakama, and then they've got to give him interest for that amount. Now you might say, oh, they can sue the machzik and get back their money, which is a question that some Rishonim ask. So Rishonim say, yeah, and that's very unpleasant, and it might take a long time, and it's a court procedure. There's still no gea b'davar. Okay. We will get to that. Then the Gemara says, Amalei Daina Dishvili. He insulted them. He said, you think we're such bad, Talmid Chachamim here. Daina Dishvili Hakadini. Mila Askina, we're talking about a case. Could go into Nikit. They aren't Gagar Besa. They haven't yet paid rent. They come with the rent money in their hand. So in theory, they could give it to whoever they want. And they still confirm the words of the Matzik. But Amri, we say to them, Leman Leisa, who should you give the rent money to? So there's no financial negia. The Rambam still thinks it's a negia v'davar. Amar Mar Zutra. Just one more line. B'toin v'amar leisa shei sadi la sudi le t'dorbe klas shani b'imamu b'lelia tanase taino. We'll have to go through all these lines. There are about seven different interpretations of this line in Rishonim, Mar Zutra. The civil pshat is, if a guy says, I think something's fishy, nothing has been established sufficiently for Balayla, you'll have to bring actuated. And then finally, Modi Marzutra Barochan among Zir Bayaros, if the Marakama is never at home, so then certainly Afagab Laitan Tanino Mayanan, we ask him to prove Balayla. And then the Gemara concludes, Modi Ravuna, however, Ravuna does agree, even though he normally renewed Ritzufin, the Chanusa the Mechuza, the Limama Avida Lelelia, Lo Avida. If it's about a store doesn't have to have Yom Balayla, it's enough to have Bayom, and that would be sufficient. There's a debate in the Rishonim, sufficient for 6 years? Right? So you can double up the Yomims to count for the lack of Lelos? That's the view of Balitosis. Or, like the Rambam and most Rishonim say, 3 years, it's like a Sada. Okay, so we'll get to this next time. Very important issue. How do we calculate what is the nature of Cheskos Kibbul Shanim as a unit?